This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Red Circle, Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you hit like, subscribe, turn the notifications on. Thanks for 25,000 subscribers. Also, check out Off the Floor. That is our Discord. This is the new Off the Floor. You get to interact with us, also with other fans. We've got 9 different rooms there. It's $2.99 per month. It's worth it. So when you sign up, make sure that you sign up for Discord. The link is right here on the description, on the YouTube channel, and on the podcast feeds, and the top of the Five Reasons Sports Twitter, and then pay the $2.99, and you're in. It's a whole world of possibilities during the games, between games, even in the middle of the night. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That includes Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. Get $20 to play. That's the number 5RSN. $20 to play. This is, they call it a stock exchange for sports betting. It's really social betting. You can find the line that you want. They've also got tons of contests on there. Congratulations to our guy Major Passins, who did not win the last contest, the November contest. I did, but I wasn't allowed to. So he got the Better Edge hat and the Five Reasons shirt. I'll have to find another way to get that. I'll see if I know somebody. Check it out, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscay.
Yay.
Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard. Couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck to say. You in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got a all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop in one hand. And pat we trust. It's power. Have the guts. We here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Here's today's floor plan. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. I've got Alex Toledo. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. Make sure you check out last couple episodes that we did. Greg and I went through what would happen. Was Brady on that one as well? I can't even remember.
I don't know what episode
about yet. Alex and Brady were on that one. I totally screwed that up. Greg, what would happen if Bam was out for an extended period of time? Greg, what was the one you and I did recently? They're running together.
Rookies. We talked rookies.
Oh, that's right. All right, sorry. We talked Hawkeyes and rookies. Okay, so I've got them all mixed up. Go. You'll be surprised, because I'll be surprised who was on with me. So I wonder what condition I was on at that point. All right. Today, we're going to broaden this out a little bit. Here's the news of the day. Bam Adebayo did not make the trip. We expected that. Did not make the trip to Toronto. Tyler Herro did not make the trip to Toronto. We expected that. Haywood Highsmith did not make the trip to Toronto. That was a little bit more in question. So Haywood, he's already been dealt with the tailbone thing, the ankle, a whole bunch of things going on with Haywood. So he's going to take a couple days off here as well. But the key thing is at practice today, Bam told reporters that he couldn't say he was going to be back next week or when he was going to be back. So a little cryptic about it. They're going to try to obviously get this to not be a problem, because it's been a problem now for more than a month, and he's missed time, and we went into the ramifications of that, Brady, Alex, and myself. Anyway, we're going to take a look at the Eastern Conference right now, though, because there are really two different ways to look at other teams, and we try to do both here on Five on the Floor. One is, what kind of competition are they from keeping the Miami Heat to getting where they want to go, which is back to the NBA Finals and ultimately to try to win a championship? And the second part is, hey, can we get something from you? And so we're going to split the teams in the Eastern Conference into contenders and possible trade partners. And maybe there's some overlap between the two of them. But at the very least, we will try to do as much separation as we can. So we're looking at the standings right now, and we saw the Boston Celtics lose to the Indiana Pacers. I did see Jaylen Brown dribble with his left hand, so that was an improvement. But they lost to the Indiana Pacers in an in-season tournament game. Pacers kind of made it their championship. We just saw the Pacers. The Celtics are without Porzingis right now. But for the most part, they've looked pretty good. I think we all have to acknowledge that, that it looks like they're still formidable. They still have Tatum. They still have Brown. They have Derek White. Al Horford's played well in his role. I think they're thin in the front court, but it looks like they're still willing to make a move. They have that second apron issue, so there are some limitations to what they can do. But I think all three of us would agree. Alex, I'll start with you here. I mean, the Celtics are a contender and probably not a team that would make a trade with the Miami Heat, correct?
Yeah. No doubt about it.
So we don't even need to go further with that. The Milwaukee Bucks. And then I'm going to ask as we go forward this. Greg, I'm going to hear this one. The Milwaukee Bucks, they quote-unquote stole Dave Lillard from the Heat, depending on who you want to believe about this. They traded Jrue Holiday. They look a little leaky defensively. We saw them down recently, and I thought the Heat, without core players, including Jimmy, played them really tough. But still a contender, right? And the team that's probably going to be competing for other assets against you as opposed to somebody you're going to get something from.
Competing, but I guess I would say this, that I don't think Milwaukee is as likely to make a move as maybe Boston would. I think Milwaukee's going to likely stick with the team they have. They're 12-6 in the conference. So, like, they're chugging along here. They're fine. I don't see them being real inspired to make a move, whereas Boston I would see as a team more inclined to try to go and maybe fortify something or mix something up down the line. But that's just my perspective of it. But neither of these teams will be dealing with the Heat.
Oh, see, when you mute me, look what happens.
Well, I think it's better than having an echo while the entire time while Ava's talking.
Well, there could either be an echo or there could be a long pause. We can choose here. All right. The Celtics, as we speak here, are 15-5. The Bucks are 14-6. The Orlando Magic, at time of this reading, are 14-6, 9-1 in their last 10. I'll start with you on this one, Alex, before we get to trade possibilities. Are they contenders?
Okay, so are we talking about the Magic here?
Hot take, hot take.
I was unmuted, so yes, that's what I said. Hold on.
That's what I'm saying. We're talking about – I had to make sure we're talking about the Orlando Magic. Okay, no, they're not contenders, no. I'm really happy for them. Like, it's cool. It's a great story. They've been a good team. I don't think it's like fake. I don't know how high they're going to end up being when you talk about like what seed they're going to end up when the playoffs ultimately start. But they've been just a good team overall. Even when you try to go to net rating, they've had the seventh best net rating in the league. And they're one of the elite defenses, fourth in defensive rating. And I just think like that's kind of their identity. There's some similarities to, I think, them with the Heat, which is, that part of it, right? Where like it's all ideally, right? Because that hasn't necessarily been the case for the Heat as of late. But ideally, it's supposed to be all defense. And then you just kind of figure it out on offense. Because you look at the Magic and that's exactly what they are. They're just kind of getting through on offense. That's not the part of the game that's getting them the wins. It's all about defense. So yeah, I respect what they're doing. Their talent is real. The young talent is absolutely real. I just don't classify them as a contender this early on. It's one of those things where it's just kind of hard to see it until you actually see it. And that doesn't mean it's never going to happen. Like I said, the young talent is real. It could end up just happening this season. They could advance and get to the second round if they get the right matchup in the first round. I think that's probable, right? If they just keep on with this season, if it keeps on at this rate, they can get a nice matchup for them in advance. But other than that, I don't like. I got to see it. I it's going to be hard to beat, the best teams in the East as a young team like that. So I respect them, but no, I don't have them in the class with the Bucks, the Celtics, and on good days the Heat.
Well, we're going to talk about another team that you don't have them in the class with. I'm going to make you actually say it. But, Greg, I guess one of the reasons to mention Orlando, other than the fact it's weird to see them above the Heat in the standings because over the past couple of decades that almost never happens. But we talked about them, even though I think I said I thought they'd be better this year. They had a much better finish to the season last year. So it seemed like of those teams in the East, when you looked at Charlotte, Detroit, Washington, even Chicago, that Orlando was the team that could pop among them this year. I didn't think they would pop to 14-6, but we talked about them as a possible trade partner. I mean, Cole Anthony was a player we discussed in the offseason. I would assume he's off the table now. I don't think they're going to mess with that chemistry in any significant way. But they also – they're kind of a weird team in that they're sort of overstocked at certain positions but a little thinner at some. Like, they could use a wing, in my view. Could they be – do you think that – like, could a team like Orlando have interest in, like, let's say a player like Caleb Martin? Like, the Heat aren't going to re-sign Caleb. Like, I can see – him helping a young team, right? Like, as a plug-and-play type guy, fits with their athletic model there.
They'd send him to the West, though. They may be interested, but I personally believe if they do something like that where they recognize that Caleb's not going to be around long-term, you send him out West. You don't send him in division.
They don't do that. They've never been a team to worry about that, really. They've made trades –
that's true.
With teams in their conference before. I mean, in division? Jimmy, they had to trade with – well, they had to trade with Philly. We know that other teams, they've done that before. It doesn't seem like that's their priority, is to send people West.
Yeah. No, you could be right about that. I don't view Orlando really as a trade partner because I think they will likely be – they think they're contenders, but they have to have their heart broken first, and they got to go through that pain, and they haven't been through that pain. So they're – until further notice, they're not contenders. We'll see.
All right.
Let's say they're playing with house money.
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think that's the phrase here. Hopefully they have a lot of alphas. Let's go to the Philadelphia 76ers here. I'm sorry.
That's real quick, 5 hours ago.
That's right. I'm not going to make Alex jump into this one. I'll make him. No, you know what? I should. Hold on a second. Let me flip this. Greg, we'll start with you. I'll make you talk about the one you don't want to talk about, the Knicks. Contender? trade partner? Where do they fall?
They fall. That's what they do. Next. Now, honestly, like, I don't see New York as a trade partner, and they think they're contending. They're going to continue to get their hearts broken. And that's just the way that it goes. I don't see a match there. And I also don't think that they can beat Jimmy Butler. Like, that's just an issue for them.
Frankly. Do you see, Alex, any scenario where they would be in competition with the Heat for a player? It seems like they need different things, right? They're a little guard heavy, right? I mean, quickly, there's the question of how he fits long-term there with Brunson. Maybe he deserves to be a starter somewhere. They went out and got Hart last year, so they've shown that they will make a move. There's a feeling maybe they're waiting on Embiid or somebody else so you don't make the huge splash move. But, I mean, do you see anything where Miami might want a player and they get involved in it?
Yeah, it's actually a tough one. Other than, like, getting into what you were talking about there with Mitchell, right, which is just down the line, I think that's where it could kind of get interesting. Like, if the Heat wanted to get back into that, if right, because this is not like a given thing. If Donovan Mitchell ends up wanting out of Cleveland, right, like they could just have a good playoff run, get to the second round, and all of a sudden he feels a little bit more hope with that situation. For all I know, I mean, he helped recruit Max Strus, all of that. But other than that, I don't really see it. Maybe like if the Heat wanted to go out and do like that Nets trade that we've been talking about forever, right, like getting a Dorian Finney-Smith and a Dinwiddie, like that type of move. Like maybe they wanted to bolster their roster a little bit, but that's kind of like. Embracing what they're already good at, because it's another team who you just look at what they do, and it's similar to what we were talking about with the Magic, where like they're very defense heavy during the season, and I just think they're a good regular season team. Like this new identity of the Knicks, it's just a good regular season team. Like they're gonna get you through, and they're gonna be a pretty good team. Like they're gonna have a good net rating. They have, by the way, a better defense and offense just by defensive and offensive rating and those metrics than the Magic. So, you know, got to give credit to them. They're a pretty good regular season team, but that's what they are. And I kind of consider them in the same category as the Magic, where it's like I said with them, this is kind of what already happened with them last season. They kind of got the favorable matchup in the first round because of having a good regular season. So, again, it matters, right? Like being able to do that matters because you can get yourself a relatively favorable matchup. They did that. They advanced, and then they you know, promptly lost to the better team in the second round. And that's what I think kind of their ceiling is again, like until further notice. Like, I really, really respect their defense overall as a team. And I really respect Jalen Brunson as a player. Like, that guy is ridiculous. But until further notice, like, I don't see them beating the better teams in the East.
All right. After the break, we're going to get into a couple more of these teams. And then we'll go swiftly through some of the teams at the bottom and identify two players on each team that maybe the Heat should take a look at here before the deadline. So I'm going to give you these teams now so you can guys can think about them through the break. Charlotte, Chicago, Washington, Detroit. Okay, those are the four that we're going to blitz through at the end. The others we're going to handle here. Some of these we've talked about before, but maybe somebody will actually have a new idea. Actually, you know what? I'll throw Toronto in there too. They're seeing them on Wednesday. They're 9-11 right now. So Toronto, Charlotte, Chicago, Washington, Detroit, currently the five bottom teams, the teams out of the play-in in the Eastern Conference. Before we do, though, I want to mention another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Includes our friends over at Water Cleanup, WCUFL.com. Reach out to Michael, Robert, and his team, a one-shop water and mold cleanup shop. They can do the preventative work for you. And also, if something happens, of course, they'll take care of it after the fact. Leak detection, damage assessment, they do all of it here. They got you covered every step of the way. Again, great people based in Boca Raton, more than 70 five-star reviews on Google. We say this all the time. If you've got the schmutz,
they got the guts.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the weight it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so we are not going to go to those five teams yet. So just put those in the pocket. Toronto, Charlotte, Chicago, Washington, Detroit. Now we're going to go through some of these other teams here. Philadelphia 76ers. I know Alex's answer. Greg, contender?
I think that we'll call them a contender because they have Joel Embiid, and they've actually shown some things this year with Tyrese Maxey's ascension, et cetera, that I think are worth noting. So I actually think that they're more well-equipped for a postseason run than they've been in the past. And, you know, like not having James Harden is also a really big part of that for me. So I'll say that, yes, I believe that they are contenders. Not contenders to beat Miami in a seven-game series, because I'm going Homer hat today. But they're contenders, absolutely. Do either of you disagree? Because that would surprise
me. No, I think they are, but I think they're a move away. Honestly, I think the idea that you just build around Embiid and Maxey, and then you got these role guys. Now, as part of it is the Oubre situation kind of killed some momentum there for them. But I think they've been upgraded the coaching spot with Nick Nurse. So I think that's helpful. And there seems to be more of a plan there, but I still think they need one more guy. I like some of the role players that they've added, but I don't trust Embiid to stay healthy. That's my thing. I don't trust him to get through an entire postseason and be at top level. And so that's why I can't see them winning the whole thing. Will they be a tough out in a second round series like they were last year for Boston? Yes, I do believe that, but I don't think they can go much beyond that. All right, let's talk about the team I mentioned about last night, Indiana.
Better not let me talk about the Sixers.
No, I'm not letting you talk about the Sixers. Indiana. I mean, we just saw them twice. We saw them beat Boston. They're not
best team ever. Clearly the best team ever. Like after what we just saw, like they were able to drop 144 on the Heat. Since I wasn't able to talk about that,
Tyrese Haliburton, can they make a move? Can they make a move to actually make themselves relevant this year?
No, in all seriousness, yeah. Like I think they could bolster themselves with another move. I don't know what that move would be.
And they have
theory. Like I don't think they're too good for a move.
No, in fact, they're actually one of the few teams that has basically all their own picks and a couple other picks from other teams as well. Like they're not the team that has sacrificed a ton of draft picks recently. They always build through the draft, never through free agency, excuse me. And I think that there's going to be pressure with the ascension of Haliburton. You got to get Hallie some help, and you got to like, you can't have a Steph Curry level player if that's what he's turning into, and just surround him with like Charlotte Hornets level stuff. Mm. Like you got to go get somebody.
Zach LaVine might go crazy in Indiana now that I'm thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He fit right in with the no defense thing. I you know, the
basically
thing
get
about
somebody
it,
though, who's locked up for the future. They don't have to worry about
that's
him.
That's what they want.
But that's always guys on what long they try contract. To do. That's what they did when they traded Paul George, and they got Oladipo and Sabonis locked up for a period of time until then ultimately moved on from them. And then for Sabonis, they end up getting Haliburton, and they would have gotten a lot for Oladipo if not for the injury that he suffered. So that is typically the way that they do things there. I think what they've shown this year is they're not going to make the backwards trade now. So we've talked about them maybe moving Miles Turner. Or, you know, even Buddy Hield. I think unless they really get something they like, I think there's still use on that roster.
Maybe it's McConnell.
Shoot. Right. That's who Heat fans want to talk about, right? And I asked TJ after the game why he always kills the Heat, and he kind of smiled about it and said he talks trash to Jimmy. The Heat would love to get him, but if you're Indiana, if you're actually trying to be competitive this year, he's a good guy to have. I don't know that Nembhard's ready to take that role behind Haliburton full time. TJ McConnell is a good guy to have on your roster, but
yeah.
TJ McConnell went like 7 games without scoring a total of 20 points and then had 20 in 22 minutes against Miami. Right. So it might be just Miami thing, but I don't know that they would be a trade partner for the Heat, but I still think they're in position where they could be
in theory, but
it's just too early. It's so like,
right.
If they like, this was the parity in the league. And I'll get this in quickly. Like, if they lose 7 games in a row from this moment forward, all of a sudden they're completely out of the conversation. And so, like, that's what, when we're talking about this, like, the things can change so drastically because of the parity right now.
All right. So let's talk about three more teams in this kind of middle space here. Cleveland, Brooklyn, Atlanta. Of those three, Greg, which is closest to contender and which is closest to a team that may make significant changes and Miami can get in the mix with them? Because I don't think the Heat would be afraid to trade with any of those three teams. They have a relationship with Brooklyn. I think they would deal with Atlanta and Cleveland. They've dealt with before, at least since the LeBron stuff all passed. They got Dwayne back from Cleveland a few years ago, and Kobe Altman's still in charge.
And Max Strus.
And Max Strus, right? They finalized the execution of that trade. Cleveland, Brooklyn, Atlanta. Who is closest to contender of those three teams?
Cleveland, for sure. That I don't think there's any question about that. And I think the teams that Miami would be kind of swirling around and watching would be Brooklyn one. And I think that we've just, by virtue of looking around at the different salaries, we've landed on this Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie idea, but also, Atlanta is a team that I got a weird vibe about them. Like, they could just completely blow things up. I think that they're like one of those candidates to completely reverse course. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be overreacting, but That's a team to watch. I don't know that Miami would necessarily want their top players. It'd be more about if any of those supplemental role players became available and how much it would cost. Because, like, I could see Indiana going to Atlanta and, like, wanting to pick off a couple of their players to add to their mix. That's just totally an example. And I don't know that Miami can compete in that moment because Indiana has every pick plus, you know, others from other teams, and Miami doesn't have that.
Alex, you agree? I mean, before the season, we all would agree it was Cleveland, right? I mean, has anything changed?
No. I mean, I still kind of view Cleveland more or less how I did before. And, you know, just looking at it right now, obviously it's still early into the season. Eighth best adjusted net rating, which, by the way, varies pretty heavily from NBA.com, just regular. And all it's adjusting for, dunksandthrees.com, by the way, shout out to them, is strength of schedule. So that's all it means when I'm saying adjusted net rating. But you know, when you look at their total net rating, it's actually, like, on NBA.com, it's 19th. So apparently their, you know, their schedule has been very tough, right, the Cavs, according to that metric. But in general, I think, like, they have an identity when you just look at their best players and you know what each one of those guys can do. Now, is it the best fit? Is it the best, like, blueprint to make it work around those guys? I don't know. I think they're the type of team that would maybe benefit from a trade if you wanted to kind of gauge the market on Jared Allen. Not that that would necessarily catapult them. It would, you know, obviously would depend on the move, but I think that would be the type of move if they were to make any, because I don't know how much they can do with other pieces and other draft picks after everything that they dealt for Mitchell in the first place. And, you know, Max Strus obviously was just signed. Like, I feel like they kind of have their core, and they will probably have to move off of one or two of them if they wanted to make a trade. But, yeah, like, I still think they will be a tough matchup in the first round or something. Like, I don't want to if I'm the Heat, I do not want to see the Cavs in the first round. Not because I think the Cavs will beat the Heat or anything like that, but that's a tough first round matchup. Like, let's say that's like the 4-5 or the 3-6 or something like that. Like, it probably won't be, but just in general, like, you don't want. That's a tough team to play in the first round, even though, you know, the Knicks kind of bullied them last season. So just in theory, I still kind of don't want to play them and deal with all that.
Yeah, I think that the Knicks, from a familiarity standpoint, might be a more favorable matchup for Miami. They've seen it already. I'm with you on Cleveland. I think what they really have is they've got two sort of odd fits, right? Like, they've got the Mitchell Garland fit and they've got the Allen Mobley fit, and they're not going to move Mobley. And they're kind of trying to keep Mitchell, but you really don't want to trade Garland right now. So you're right. It probably would be Allen that would be moved, and I don't know how that would rebalance the roster in any significant way. I don't see a trade fit with Miami. I think you're right, Greg, in the sense of it's Brooklyn and Atlanta to watch. It's mostly Brooklyn, I think, is a trade possibility. I mean, you're seeing Mikal Bridges play out of his mind, but their ceiling is only so high. I mean, they beat Miami twice, and everybody's going to make a big deal out of that. They beat Miami, I think, four straight, actually. Spo got upset at that question when he was asked by one of the New York reporters. But if you look at it, he should have won that game down here. I know shoulda, woulda, coulda. And then up in Brooklyn, nobody played. So I don't even count that one. But their ceiling is they've got a lot of B to B minus players. And that could be really interesting on any team. And also, I think the thing to watch with Brooklyn is if it's a three-team trade, there's a piece that maybe Miami could grab in a three-team deal with them. And we know – I'm not saying the Heat are trading Hero, but we know that the Nets had interest in him. So there's stuff to talk about with them. Atlanta, I don't really know. I mean, I know people mentioned DeJounte Murray. I know the Heat would love to get their hands on DeJounte Murray, but I don't – that doesn't seem to me as legitimate or reasonable. Atlanta's now in the second year of this experiment, and they're 9-10. So it's not working right now. All right, let's go through it. And these five teams, okay? We need two ideas on each team. There are two players. We'll go through them quickly here. Toronto, Alex.
All right, hear me out. This is not going to be a fun one for Heat fans. This is not at the top of my list. I need, and nothing like that. Would you take Precious Achiuwa as your backup five?
No.
Would you do it?
I'm good.
Okay. I don't even know what that would look like, but since you made us, you know, pick guys.
Yeah, you gotta pick guys.
I don't know, like Chris Boucher, but I don't really wanna like he's already on a contract. I don't really want Chris Boucher to be like one of your even a middling contract. Like, I don't think he's worth that at this point. Like, who else from the Raptors would theoretically be available? That's the thing. Because
maybe
it's like,
Gary Trent Jr. About, do you want him? You know, like, that's the question mark. Send Kyle back there, but like, then you need a point guard. So that it's kind of
downgrading
confusing.
In the point guard position if you're doing that. You just, exactly. You're adding another, like, another shooter who can totally. Defend a bit. So I don't see a trade there that makes sense. And I think just, again, relative to expectations, since I wasn't on that show that you guys did, like, I think Kyle's had a very good season relative to expectation. I would have given him a higher grade than you guys did on that show just because I think that the expectations were so low, right? Like, I think they were that low. And I think even relative to, like, just relative to thinking of him as, like, a role-playing point guard, I think he's been better than that. That doesn't mean I don't think he can be removed from the starting lineup, and I think there can be conversations to be had about that. Not that that's necessarily how I feel, but I just think he's been good. And, like, even with some of these point guards we've talked about, like, Kyle's been I think we could say Kyle's been better than TJ McConnell, right, for example.
Yes.
I think Kyle's been probably better than Spencer Dinwiddie, you know what I mean? And these are all trades that I've advocated for, or, you know, considered, not necessarily advocated for, but considered in the past, like when we talked about the Nets one.
You're right. It's not a big enough improvement for the Heat to mix it up.
That's the thing. Where is the point guard upgrade that's out there that the Heat would also do, right? Because it's like, are the Heat going to throw in a first-round pick for, you know, some of these players that I'm sure we're going to name now, like on the Wizards, like Tyus Jones, right?
Yeah. This becomes a Caleb Martin conversation as we pivot to the teams that we're going to talk about next, really, to me. Because, like, are you going to send the inflated Kyle Lowry contract for, like, a less established point guard and another player that further crowds your already crowded roster? It doesn't feel right to me. So then it's about, can you pick off a need from another team with a smaller salary like Caleb, right?
That's where they're not going to give away the get out of jail free card for nothing.
Correct.
No, it is going to pop a ball upgrade because that $30 million is going to be nice for them.
All right. So these other teams here, we'll try to do these rapid fire. You ready? Greg, Charlotte.
I would say that you maybe could try to get PJ Washington. I'll keep coming back to that name. I know that he just signed his deal, but Bridges is back. And the other thing I would say, Nick Richards, only because Mark Williams has taken off. If you wanted to invest in a five that's been, you know, kind of a young decorated five and see if you could rebuild what he's kind of hasn't, you know, figured it out yet, maybe you take a shot on him. Gordon Hayward is the other name. If we're going to go with a big salary, that I could see the Heat wanting to revisit that. But I mean, again, that would include Kyle Lowry. I'm not putting Duncan Robinson in any of these trades. Let me just make sure that's on record, which is crazy. But for Kyle, like, if you're not getting back a point guard, you can't get Gordon Hayward for Kyle Lowry. So that's where this stuff, I can poke holes in it pretty quickly.
Chicago, we've discussed.
Rozier? I thought you were going to mention Terry Rozier there. I think that is more, like, interesting. Not that I'm into it, like, but I think that's more interesting than McConnell at this point. Again, like, if McConnell could just play the way he did the other night in, like, at the Heat Arena, then that's a different story, right? We're talking about a completely different player. We're talking about a fringe all-star because, holy crap, what he did to the Heat was filthy. But, no, the regular TJ McConnell, no, I think I'd probably be more interested in Terry Rozier.
Well, the other ones we've talked about before. Chicago, LaVine and Caruso, we've discussed it. They're not in on Zach LaVine. So
DeRozan?
We don't need to get more into that. I don't think they're in on DeRozan. We did a whole podcast on that one. But we know that a breakup is possibly coming here, and Caruso is the guy that everybody's going to try to pick off. I do believe they would have interest there. At what cost? Again, we've talked about Caleb Martin and the pick situation. The other two teams are combined 5-34. Washington and Detroit, they've lost 19 of their last 20. The Wizards are just comically bad. They've committed to Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma. That might be the worst 1-2 punch that's got a lot of money in NBA history. And although they are good for comic effect. And Detroit, I mean, I don't know what they're doing at this stage. They've thrown all these young pieces together. Bogdanovich came back. Monty Morris is going to come back. We've talked about Tyus Jones with Washington. Like, if you're the Heat, you're trying to, like, pick at the carcass of one of those two teams, right? Isn't that where you're looking more than anywhere else?
Yep. But who are you flipping? Like, I guess I would pose this question to all Heat fans who are so hungry for a transaction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Monte Morris salary range, the Tyus Jones salary range, we're getting there how? Question mark. It's probably going to be Caleb Martin. And then you're going to have to add like a Thomas Bryant and a Nico Jovic. Like, I'm just trying to get to the math, right? Right. And so then you have to ask yourself, are y'all doing
that? Worth it?
Like, do we like that? Question mark. And so it's just lots of question marks.
Is Tyus Jones still, I mean, is that what you would look at, Alex, from those two teams? You like the Monte Morris Bogdanovich combination, if you can get it.
Yeah, I mean, I've liked it, but it seems like the Pistons are like relying on Bogdanovich now, like hoping for him to like save their season somehow, which I don't, you know, I'm not expecting that whatsoever. They've lost like a million in a row. They might like break a record this season, but like, I just don't see the need for them to hold on to a guy like him. But if they just, you know, they want it to be easier on the guys that they're building around, I guess. Right. I don't know that Bogdanovich is actually available. And there was like reports going around that when he was, or not that he actually was, but that teams were calling around about him last season. And there was like a report that came out that they were asking for like two first round picks for him. The Heat are absolutely not going to do that. I think even one first round pick is, it might be something for the Heat to like look into, but two is asking a lot for a guy who is 34 years old. And I love his game. Like, I think he would fit in like extremely well, and very much like what we thought about with Gallinari in the first year of the Jimmy era, where it's like getting somebody like that. I think he's kind of the modern version of what Gallinari was back then, but just shoots at a higher volume. I think doesn't play quite as slow as Gallinari did. And look, he'll be great. He'll be a nice shooting and offensive infusion to a team that I think can probably use it, can probably use the extra spacing, and I think has enough defensive pieces on the team to put around him. Don't think it's going to happen. And I think if you try to like make a trade around it, it gets tough. Like, it's going to have to be a Kyle and Caleb type of deal, along with like maybe they ask for a first and Jovic. I don't think the Heat are going to do that. So I don't really see that happening unless like this just collapses over the next few weeks, right? And the Heat just look terrible. I don't really see that being the case. I like the team isn't bad. It's not a bad team. They have depth. I think, as I've said before, I like their playoff roster right now, as it stands, better than last season. But if you want to make a trade, like, what's the one that makes sense? I don't know. I don't see the Caruso one happening. I think you're going to get outbid. Plus, the Heat aren't going to put down what it takes. And I don't think Caruso is a first-round pick better than Caleb Martin. I would have questions about the swap in the first place, just because Caruso is an upgrade on defense, but I think you downgrade on offense. Then it's like the Tyus Jones thing. How do you make the money work? You have to throw in like multiple players from the Wizards. If you're doing Kyle, if you're just doing Tyus Jones for Caleb, I guess. Why are the Wizards doing this? Are you giving them a first for like along with Caleb to get to Tyus Jones? Specifically the Heat. I'm not even asking like fans here who are listening, which we appreciate you. But what I'm saying is all these like cool ideas, which I like going through, which one of these are the Heat actually going to put down player plus assets for? Which is the clear option?
There is none. Here's how I think. There is none. Now look, I want to be clear about one thing though. Okay. Cause as I was doing, I'm scrolling through the Western Conference and we didn't do that episode cause we're already at minute 36, but there are teams out there, not because the Heat won't trade with the East, but I just think there are more teams in the West that have some interesting pieces for them.
Correct.
And it's kind of dependent on whether that jumble up there gets worked out, because right now there are some teams at the top we didn't expect to be at the top, and they didn't expect to be at the top, like say Minnesota. OKC is ahead of schedule, right? New Orleans seems to be getting things together, whereas the LA teams are kind of middling, which wasn't necessarily anticipated. We know Phoenix and Denver are going to be up there in some way, but it's kind of a mess. Like, even Houston is so far ahead of schedule. Then Golden State looks like trash right now, which wasn't expected, and Memphis, which without Morant last year, they were a good team. Without Morant this year, they're horrific. And so by the time he gets back, I mean, he's not far away from it at this point, but can their season even be salvaged? And do they start to move pieces? So we will hold that for another day. But there are teams. So it's not to say that he can't make a trade, but I and by the time things start to shake out in January and February, but I think right now, looking at the Eastern Conference, there aren't as many obvious targets other than maybe the two horrific teams in the East, Washington and Detroit, and then it's, okay, how much are you giving up for Tyus Jones?
Not only that,
yay parity.
Yay parity, but not only that, like for a lot of these trades that we've been talking about here, if we've just come down to like, okay, Kyle's playing pretty good, not that that makes him untradeable by any means. I'm not trying to say that at all. The thing is, like, it gets really complicated because of how much money he's making. So you got to presumably get back multiple players from another team, right, if you're trading Kyle. And then if it becomes, okay, we're not doing Duncan anymore, and all of a sudden we're just talking about Caleb because we all see the, you know, the incoming free agency and the wing room that I've called Wingstop. Maybe they can sponsor us because they have so many. Like, Caleb seems like he could be traded. I love but, that. I don't until they sponsor us. Then if they do, then we can do it. But I won't keep calling it that. But anyways, what I was saying was, like, if we're gonna do the Caleb thing, and like you said, Leif, he makes whatever it is, around $6-7 million right now. A lot of these guys we're talking about make more than that. And guess what? The Heat are not gonna go closer to the second apron. They're like right on at it right now. And none of these guys we're talking about are gonna be the types of guys, in my opinion. I think you guys could probably speak more to that. Is like none of these guys are the type of guys that they go over the second apron for. And they're so close already. You can't take back more money if you're trading Caleb alone. Like, you've got to throw in the other, like maybe other contracts, like you said, Bryant or Jovic's rookie scale deal, along with, you know, a first round pick type of asset. I just don't see any of these trades being good enough for them to pull that type of trigger. So if you can get creative and make realistic trades that both teams would accept, doesn't get them closer to the second apron, makes them palpably better to make that move, come up with them. But it's going to end up looking like 3-4 team type of deals that just end up looking
tropical, kind of wet unrealistic. Blanket. Gosh,
I'm sorry. I'm just being like, I've gone through so many of these, man. I've gone through so many of these. It's like, it would be cool to see them make a trade for a better player, but how do you make it happen? How do you make it happen?
So I think we hit the entire East. Thanks to our sponsors, Better Edge. I'm with Alex on this, by the way. Thanks to our sponsors. We should get Spencer as a sponsor. Thanks to our sponsors, Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN and Water Cleanup of Florida.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.